sponsors the celebration of Des Moines and Iowa, otherwise known as News Radio 1040 WHO.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to our Friday morning get-together. What we're going to do here for a while this hour is I'm going to take a beating, I think, from a local activist who has latched on to the driver's license issue. Dave Leach has joined us here in the studio. He is perhaps known in his community as a music instructor, instrument a sales fellow. You're from a family
music center.
Family music center. But you're also an activist, I think, in the life issue, and now apparently on the immigration issue and the driver's license issue.
Yes, sure am.
Well, so what do you want me to know this morning, Dave? You said I'm wrong on the driver's license issue, and some of the other folks are wrong on restricting driver's licenses for people who are not in the country legally. Make your case.
Well, let's see. The driver's license issue is a small part of the whole problem, obviously.
Right.
And so I wonder if we can agree on what the problem is. If we could register every illegal, that's part of what we want to do, isn't it? Secure our borders?
No, just secure the borders, and we don't have to register the illegal. And I terminate the ability for people who are not invited to come into the country.
Well, part of it is to, you know, if we secure our borders and if we begin by registering every illegal, I mean, we find out where they are. Before we do that, we can't do much of anything else. Okay?
Right.
Okay, and then we want to reduce our USCIS caseload.
What's that?
The new name for the INS.
Okay.
And we want to fix Social Security. We want to do all that without driving down wages, taking citizens' jobs.
Right.
Draining welfare.
Right.
And how about if we could do all of that without destroying the pillar of the American character, which is summed up as love thy neighbor as thyself? Would that be a good plan, if we could do all that?
No, you're going to have to define terms here. I reject the idea that the a person who is not invited and that is using my property is my neighbor.
Well, it's kind of going by the Good Samaritan example of the neighbor being the very person who is most hated by your countrymen.
Well,
Good
Samaritan. I'm not talking about an enemy. I'm not talking about cultural clashes here. I'm just talking about simple property rights. My neighbor is not entitled to use my property. She's not entitled to borrow my lawnmower. He's not entitled to access to my refrigerator or use my anything
right,
that I own without my permission. And I don't. In the moment he starts to assert that he has a right to those things, he's no longer my neighbor, but a criminal that I would like to deal with.
So correcting all those things is what we all want, right?
Yes, I would say so. Yes.
Right. And
therefore,
getting good relationships with our neighbors. All right.
I have good relationship with my neighbors. Robert Frost wrote a poem once that said good walls make good neighbors, and I like that idea. I think that's a nice idea. I mean, you think the neighbor's yard is his yard, and my yard is my yard, and his dog can play in his own yard, doesn't have to come over my yard and poop in my front yard. His kids can stay in his own backyard. Good neighbors and good defenses are prerequisite to those kinds of relationships.
Well, that reminds me that there's a lot of misunderstandings that are going to have to be straightened up before we can see the simplicity of a real solution. But
well, this is a real solution. It's a good fence. And the general form of civility and assumptions of property and the right to use one's own property without fear of having somebody else take them or squat on them, those are the beginnings of civility. Borders that are enforced is the solution.
Well, here's another solution. Replace quotas with criteria. Instead of fixing an arbitrary low number, like we're going to allow 10 Mexicans to be citizens this year, and all the rest that want to come either come illegal or don't come, and in the, even those 10 we take without any regard for what they're going to contribute to our nation as to their qualifications or anything like that. Instead of doing that, how about taking the people who are most qualified? How about setting up criteria?
Well, that's the way we used to do it, and I like that idea. We only take people who we perceive are assets.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I like that. But we're not even addressing that. We're just trying to deal with... this is not an immigration issue as far as I'm concerned. There's two separate issues. And you're already chasing down the road here. We're talking about driver's licenses, not for people who we perceive are assets or people who we've invited. We're talking about issuing driver's licenses for people... who didn't even have a driver's license from their country of origin, are here without our permission, and are subject to the use of our safety net, whether we want them here or not. Those are the criteria that I'm pondering here. Now, if we want to talk about immigration, whether there should be quotas or not, that's a separate issue, and I agree with you that if we're going to expand our quotas, we ought to have the same philosophy as our forebears who said, hey, we don't, both left and right, and both the Democrats and Republicans, turn of the last century, said, hey, we ought not to import pauper labor, nor should we admit to the country anybody who cannot read and write. They had these issues. Our previous generations thought this stuff through. We don't have to reinvent the wheel here. Dave, I agree with your proposition. We should only admit people that are assets and not automatic liabilities. But we're a long way from that.
Well, the first quotas came in 1875 that I know of. There were number quotas. There was a bill...
We're not experiencing any shortage of Mexicans, Dave. Quotas, are, the Mexicans are coming to this country with or without our permission for quotas. Even if we had quotas, they would still show up unless we control our borders.
As I said, the driver's license issue is a small part of a big problem. I would like to, if I may, offer a little bit of a vision, a little glimpse of a solution that will work.
Okay, go ahead.
Satisfy all of our problems.
Okay.
The S-1387 from last year, a Senate bill which died.
Here in Iowa?
No, in the U.S. Senate.
Okay.
Proposed a point system. It would have given points for, well, first of all, it would have created a temporary labor time. A person could come here and work temporarily, like for 3 years, and then during that time here, during that temporary time, they could earn points towards legal permanent residence.
Mm-hmm.
And you get points if you could master English.
Mm-hmm.
Get some education. If you could work well, as measured by pay raises and promotion, if you would stay out of jail,
mm-hmm.
And another one that was in another bill.
Are we talking about the people who are already here illegally, or as people who are who want to come here?
Both. It would have opened it up to both.
Okay.
And a criteria from another bill was staying off welfare. Now, if that were in place, and the bill, as I understand it, would require a little bit of tweaking to quite reach this vision, but if that were in place, if those who are here illegally knew that they could sign up, begin to earn points, and that if they could excel, they would be given legal permanent residence, without having to worry about what number they are on a quota list, they would come out. They would all register voluntarily. They don't want to live the way they are. They want to live legally. If they all did, if they all participated, illegal jobs would dry up. The USCIS caseload would drop because they wouldn't have to be chasing down 10 million people anymore. They would only be left with a few thousand who are the real criminals and drug runners.
Mm-hmm.
And there wouldn't be people trying to come across the border illegally because they would be wanting to come through the lawful means provided, which would be to wait for an employer to to have a need and to advertise a job for citizens and not have it filled. And people on the other side of the border, if our system is fair and open, would know that there isn't any use coming over illegally because if the job isn't advertised, there isn't a job. I mean, I'm talking about really efficient bureaucracy and really wise construction of our laws, but this is a vision that I believe is possible.
Well, you're starting with the assumption, A, that it is in the best interest of the United States to continue to import people from south of the border or from any place else. It's that this is something that Americans want, and that it is also an automatic claim, just because somebody wants to come here, that is the duty and obligation of Americans to provide a, quote, safe and a fair way to do so. Maybe Americans are not interested in any of those things, and and we see the population in this country is pretty much where we'd like to see it, and without importing any more people.
You're expressing the concern of overcrowded land?
No, I'm expressing the concern of we have enough people already. We're not experiencing a population dearth.
How's that different than expressing the concern that your land would get too crowded if we had more?
Well, the question isn't whether it's too crowded. The question is, do we have enough? Do we have enough people in this country now to sustain and maintain our civilization? And because somebody wants to come here, you're implying that automatically makes creates a duty and demand or command on the rest of us to figure out a way to accommodate them, and I don't think that's true either.
Since America began, not one citizen has escaped being considered an illegal alien in the opinion of a number of Native Americans. And yet God was with us, as evidenced by many of his miracles along the way.
That's a non sequitur, Dave.
Not necessarily. He was with everything that we did after we got here, but he was with the establishment of this country.
Yes.
And we need to be not considered irrelevant whether God may be with those who are coming to join us.
I'm not sure what you just said. Say it again.
We need to not consider it irrelevant whether God may be with those who are coming to join us now.
Well, of course God is with them, just like he is with any of his people. Doesn't mean because God is with somebody, that means they have automatic expectation of access to our border. Are you saying because... I think what you're saying is because people were mean to Native Americans a long time ago, that means we're duty-bound to open our borders today to Mexican immigration?
I was really not prepared to hear you talk about your objection to the Hispanics not having any reason other than a number.
I'm not sure.
You want the population to remain.
No, I didn't say that. I mean, your whole argument is here. We're somehow obligated to have to admit people from any place, simply because people want to come here, and it's only fair and equitable that we do so, and then find a safe way to do so. Maybe Americans don't want to expand our population any more than it is. By immigration, do we have the right to say we've reached the capacity that we wish
the evidence that that Americans do have open hearts to those from the South is the ambivalence we see among our authorities, from the police who will not report them to the USCIS.
They're not allowed to.
To the legislators who do not allow them to, for a number of reasons. To the U.S. Supreme Court, which has said that, which by the way is unanimously said that they merit the protection of the 14th Amendment. They are persons within the jurisdiction of the United States, and they need to be receive the equal protection of the law.
You're misunderstanding the 14th Amendment. Just because somebody is in the country doesn't mean they're under our jurisdiction. The 14th Amendment did not mean what you just said it meant.
The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously said that it did.
The guy who wrote it, Jacob Howard, says the people who are in the country that are not Americans are subject to the jurisdiction, not of this country, but of the country of origin. The guy who wrote it said that. I'm not particularly interested in what the guy from the Supreme Court has reinterpreted and turned it upside down. Anyway, Dave Leach, I've got to take a short time out here. We'll come right back in a moment. It's Michael's The Morning. Proceed.
Very.
And you know it will. And you know.
My in-studio guest is Dave Leach, and he wants to propose solutions to the runamuck immigration issues that we're dealing with here, not just in the state of Iowa, but all over the country. And the hook for this conversation, Dave Leach, was the driver's license issue, which is dead for this session. Apparently, that's not going anywhere. But you thought it was a good first step. You think it was a useful thing. And you were about to say what?
Well, you're talking about Senator Howard and what he said about the intent of the 14th Amendment. I'm surprised that you are up on it. I didn't know that many people knew about Mr. Howard, but
I've been hustled a lot on this issue, Dave.
I admire you for that.
I'm hustle-proof on this one.
Last night I went to sleep reading Filer versus Doe. It's a 1982 case, but he quotes Senator Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to give you a quote from Senator Howard. He said, the last two clauses of the first section of the amendment, by the way, this is 1968 when the 14th Amendment was passed, and this
1868.
I'm sorry, 1868. And the congressional debate was, of course, on the record as to what people were thinking, what the congressmen and senators were thinking as they enacted it.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, the last two clauses of the first section of the amendment disable a state from depriving not merely a citizen of the United States, but any person, whoever he may be, of life, liberty, or property without due process of law.
Right.
Or from denying to him the equal protection of the laws of the state.
That's correct.
This abolishes all class legislation in the states and does away with the injustice of subjecting one caste of persons to a code not applicable to the other.
Right.
This will, if adopted by the states, forever disable every one of them from passing laws trenching upon those fundamental rights and privileges which pertain to citizens of the United States.
Right. I agree. That's true. And it's magnificent language, but... and it means that people who are even in the country illegally are entitled to equal protection of the law. That does not confer upon them, however, citizenship rights, and it does not convert their illegal status into legal status.
No.
And it doesn't mean that otherwise you could not have a federal law that makes being in the country a felony. If your interpretation of Jacob Howard were correct, you couldn't lock up somebody. You couldn't even have a federal law against illegals being in the country.
That's not my interpretation.
Well, that's what you're implying, that you can't enforce immigration laws because it would violate the 14th Amendment.
No, I haven't come to that detail. The significance I see in the 14th Amendment is that I have questioned whether quotas themselves could pass muster.
Of what?
The 14th Amendment.
It doesn't apply to people who we choose to allow in the country. It confers no rights at all upon or privileges at all people who are not citizens of the country when it comes to admission is concerned. Here's what Jacob Howard said. Every person born within the limits of the United States and subject to their jurisdiction is by virtue of natural law and natural law citizen of the United States. This will not, of course, include persons born in the United States who are foreigners or aliens who belong to the families of ambassadors or foreign ministers or credit to the government of the United States, but will include every other class of persons. Anyway, it settles the great question of citizenship and removes all doubt as to what persons are or not citizens of the United States. Well, that's the intent of the guy who wrote it, and it's been turned on its head to say if you're just born here, if you pop out a kid here, you're an automatic citizen. And Jacob Howard, the guy who wrote it, said, that does not include people who are not subject to our jurisdiction. And if you're not a citizen, you are not subject to our jurisdiction. You're under our laws, but you're still, if you're a Mexican citizen, you are under the jurisdiction of Mexico, not the United States.
I'd appreciate a copy of that.
So, you're now they're digging around the Constitution here. It says in Article 4, Section 4, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. That is exactly what's happening on our southern border. For political reasons, the regime of Vicente Fox and previous ones have used the United States and its border and sees it as a negotiable item rather than a legal restriction, sees it as a legal fiction, and they have encouraged citizens of its own country to invade against our laws, our land, in order to bail itself out of its own social obligations of taking care of its own citizens. It is even printing out brochures telling how Mexican citizens can invade the United States and do so by how to avoid the laws of the United States and how to collect money from our social safety net. I consider that an invasion, and it is exactly what the Constitution is supposed, and our government is supposed to.
You're putting a lot of spin on these facts.
Is supposed to protect us against. If a country is, as a political act, telling its citizens to go and occupy another country, that, by definition, is an invasion.
I saw the comic book you're talking about, and that's quite a bit of spin you're putting on it.
Well, it's not a comic book. It's the United States Constitution.
Talking about the comic book put out by the Mexicans.
Oh, okay. Yes. And it's telling it, they just put out another edition of that. They have a guy standing there in front of the Golden Gate Bridge with a big smile on his face as having successfully accomplished an illegal act.
I gotta say, Jesus pointed out that if you have two coats, and you see someone with none,
yes,
our responsibility is to share. That's the heart of America. We've had this compassion. We have a Statue of Liberty. We have a poem at the base which we recite with pride. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
Emma Lazarus wrote that, and she was a hustler, and they put it on a piece of junk that the French sent us. And I think we ought to rewrite that and say the clothes for repair. That should be our motto at the border for a while. Clothes for repair. Until we can successfully assimilate the population that we can do have now and get our house in order, we don't need any more immigrants.
Okay, you've made clear your position on Emma Lazarus. How about on Jesus' statement about sharing?
I agree with that.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Does it mean I have to allow a burglar access to my refrigerator? That's not the same thing.
You know, the correct analogy would be to, you come home and there's someone sitting on your couch, surrounded by the food from your refrigerator and your remote in your hand, whom someone else in your family invited.
No, that's not analogous at all. Nobody in my house invited anybody.
You know,
and the only people who are inviting...
The unauthorized immigrants are welcome by Americans here who want them to be here so bad that they'll pay them money to stay and work, by law enforcement who don't want to turn them over, by ambivalence all the way up and down our legal system.
You want to subject that notion to a popular vote? You'd lose big time, Dave. I need to take a short time out. We'll come right back. And Dave Leach is here, and he is making several arguments, and I'd love to get you involved in this. Our phone lines are full. We'll go to our phone lines here in just a moment. It's Michael in the Morning, 15.
Welcome to the radio station that constantly gives you a penthouse view of Des Moines. News Radio 1040 WHO.
Particularly requested this song. This is this is one of your favorite songs too, isn't it?
my ears aren't working right now.
We're talking with Dave Leach here in the studio. He wants us to rethink our relationship with our neighbors and our borders. And if I understand your point, is that we Christian ethics demand that we have an open border. Is that your conclusion?
Absolutely. Well, you know, open border, I'd like to be a little more specific than that, but...
Why?
Then to call it an open border?
No. If Christian ethics mean that we have to have an open border, how can we have any criteria at all?
For the benefit of those coming over, the point system would enable them not just to come here legally, but to become citizens.
Well, wait a minute, where did you find a point system in the Bible?
What we don't want is a subculture of people here.
You cannot. Once you start with the premise that open borders are a Christian ideal, then why can you define it? Well, why can you say you can only want desirable people?
Let me answer you.
All right. Go ahead.
What we don't want here is a subculture of people who cannot participate in our government. Like we have now. We have 10 million
people. That's not a Christian ideal. That's a political one. Now you're mixing apples and oranges again. If Christ commands and demands that we have an open border...
You seem to be making the assumption now that if you can't find... if you can't find the scripture to back up every single detail of a proper policy, that
yes.
You cannot use any scripture to back up any
policy. I'm just saying you start with a premise that Christian ethics demand we have an open border.
I didn't say that.
I asked you, and you said yes.
I said that I'd like to qualify the open border part.
Oh, well, why? If it is our duty and moral obligation to have open borders, it would seem to me if the whole idea of Christian ethics is to help people who don't have coats and help the sick and afflicted, the lame and the halt, the tired, poor, huddled masses yearning to be free, then keeping out those people who are in those categories would violate your Christian ethics. Now, you're starting with the premise you want to keep the very people who are in most need
out.
Not
talking about keeping them out. Open borders implies the absolutely open, no restraint, no checking up on anything. What is wanted, I think what we all want, is basically what S-1387 envisions, a chance to come here and work legally and become qualified. But what we don't want is...
I don't want that. For
it to stop there and to have a subculture of people who cannot participate in our system of government because they don't know English, they don't understand how our form of government works. We want to create the incentive for them to learn English as quickly as possible and learn about our government so that they don't have to... You know, the present system, you wait a generation before you can... You live here a generation illegally before you can finally get legal status. and another generation after you get legal status before you can become a citizen. That's too long. Too many millions of people here without any rights to participate in our government. Like the Roman Empire with 80% slaves.
Huh?
20%
people citizens. Who show up and demand the right to citizenship, whether they're here legally or not. You think that there is we have a duty and moral obligation based upon Christian ethics to allow criminals to have access to our political system.
To say that they're not invited is simplistic. They are invited. They're welcome here by a lot of people. A lot of people pay them to be here.
People who have a vested interest.
Then they send
the rest of us the bill.
And more, they're about a $33 billion benefit to our federal economy.
Well, they're also about almost a $70 billion liability to the taxpayer.
About $33 billion to the good.
No, that's not true.
Do we have a couple of minutes to go through a study here?
I told you we'd go to the phone lines here.
All right.
we can do that. Let's talk to you in a minute. You can hear us okay on this one? Your phone's working all right. Let's go right to our...
I'll find out.
All right. Let's go right to Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, I'm going to go on record as saying that I'm against the driver's license for illegal aliens, but... supposing that we were to do that, I think Dave is a little naive to believe that if registered illegals did not meet the criteria that he wants, that they would automatically go back to Mexico, because it seems to me that some of the 9/11 terrorists were here under similar circumstances, student visas, and they got to the United States legally, and they just disappeared into our society. To later reemerge as these terrorists on 9/11. I don't think that these people will just automatically go back to Mexico.
I never meant to suggest that they would under our present law. For this plan to work, there needs to be the possibility of becoming legal permanent residents if they can qualify. That's the only incentive I know of that would bring them out of the woodwork to sign up, try and get on board.
But if they don't qualify, they're not just going to leave. I mean, you might have track of them, they'll disappear into our society,
The point is that that they are all going to think that they can qualify. If we have a fair system and it's a reasonable system and the criteria are reasonable and objective and fair, they will all come on board and sign up for the chance to qualify. I'm confident of that.
I think you're naive, Dave, to believe that they're
But once they are signed up, then of course the USCIS knows where they are. So if it turns out they do not qualify, then the USCIS is able to deport them.
All right. Hey, thank you. I appreciate your call. Excellent. A brief timeout. We'll come back with our last segment. Dave Leach is here. He's lobbying the other side of the street on the immigration issue, and you're welcome to join us. Yes, Michael, good morning, Christy.
First with breaking news, News Radio 1040 WHO.
Right back to the conversation. Michelson here with you. Dave Leach is here. We have another guest coming up shortly. But Dave, let's talk to some of the listeners who are joining us, and this is Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Hi.
Dave, I have several questions for you, and I hope I get a straight answer. Flat out, this country is based on a rule of law, correct, sir?
Yes, and I like...
Question. If the majority decide that anybody that here is illegally claiming resources against the taxpayers, if we make our own decision not to pay that percentage, are we breaking the law?
We make our own decision not to pay that percentage
of the taxes that are being paid for the people who are in the country illegally. Can we be tax protesters at that point?
Oh, I see what you mean. They don't get much of any benefits.
Are you kidding?
Wait a minute. Okay, now just hang on a minute. If a majority of the people decide that they're going to take the law into their own hands, and anybody they find illegally, they physically boot out and break our laws by doing it, by maybe manhandling them, would you be a little upset about that?
Yeah.
Bingo. Well, maybe did you try thinking that the majority of people here know darn well that this country is based on the rule of law, and anybody that comes here legally, welcome to the country. And the people that aren't, frankly, are criminals. And you can send as many people as you want, but if the majority decides that they're criminals and they want them out of the country and they start doing it on their own, that wouldn't be a good situation, would it?
Part of our problem is what the majority really wants. There's a lot of ambivalence. But a lot of people just really aren't cold-hearted enough to want, for example, benefits denied to the citizen children born to unauthorized immigrants.
But they're not really citizens in a constitutional sense. That is a court-created right.
Oh, it's also in the U.S.
You know, I have to interrupt for a minute because, you know, this is plain and simple. You're trying to work on the emotion, but you don't like the emotions that are coming about because the reality is the people that are here live under the law. Why would you want anybody come here and start with the premise of breaking the law?
We need to have a law that is self-constitutional and is not contrary to the laws of God. I also stand against the Supreme Court's decision in Roe versus Wade. That's an unconstitutional law.
I agree with you, but why would controlling our border be unconstitutional? What provision of the Constitution does having a border violate?
I think the 14th Amendment. I'd love to be able to talk more about this than the 3 minutes we have remaining here.
Okay. So the 14th Amendment erased our borders, and why do we have to have NAFTA?
No, I'm talking about quotas. Quotas is the problem. Quotas is the only problem.
I don't care about the quotas. You and I may agree about quotas, and we might even want to agree on changing them, but we're not, I'm not.
If you don't care about quotas, then maybe we can come to an agreement.
Then we can negotiate if we're talking about legally admitting people. My problem isn't with the people that we legally admit. It's the ones that are crashing the gate.
Well, if we have a law that didn't depend on quotas, but depended rather on criteria, we would not have people crashing the gate.
I don't think you can sustain that argument. But anyway, thank you for beginning it, Dave Leach. And it was a vigorous conversation. I appreciate you expending the mental power to think about these things. And I approve of people applying their faith in the political sphere, even if I think you're a heretic and we'll have to stone you in the parking lot.
Oh, well, it's generous of you.
Oh, thank you. We'll use Little Rock, though.